Hey guys, Pastor Casey here, and just wanted to let you know that we have a guest sermon this week from Pastor Nick Castillo. Pastor Nick and his wife, Marion, faithfully served Village Missions for 43 years. They are retired now, but one of the fields that they served in their time with Village Missions was right here in Bangor. So hope you enjoy as we look at John 21 from Pastor Nick. Thanks, guys.
Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
Offering.
You may sometimes get upset. Please take a penny and look
these
at your
strange looking penny.
Thus, hand mouth. Is anybody told with hold, Kathy? Probably not. It's a devil.
Just take one.
So, the first time I heard this song, was sung right here, and it was sung by Dave Brubaker, who actually wrote the song, and he came and did a concert for us. I don't know if any of you were here at that time, but he wrote this little song, and I've loved it ever since. And it's going to fit in.
He will mend and he'll do it again. You
Well, you're gonna need your notes. And is this on? On. Test. There we go. You're gonna need your notes. And I hope you'll grab a hold of that penny. You're gonna need it throughout the little thing that we're gonna do. You're gonna need your notes. You're gonna need your penny. And we're gonna have some fun here in just a minute. One of the reasons we gave out the money was because I didn't want you telling Pastor Casey or Village Missions that you didn't get anything out of the sermon. Now, you may have to qualify the quality of that, because you'll notice I only gave you one penny, so you could actually tell them truthfully it wasn't worth 2 cents. But we're going to have some fun here. First, we're going to take a look at who we are, for those of you who don't know us, and some of you who do might have a little fun with this. We're going to just go right through these slides. So put it on slideshow, or we plugged in, and here we go. 43 years, and we retired from those missions. It's going to kind of been fun. We started out, go ahead, yeah, hit the little bit. Just have to hit one of these things. Hit the forward button. Yeah, that way. Okay, we're going to go back. All right. Marion actually came to the Lord when she was a young girl at Sunnyside Community Church, which is one of our Village Missions churches. They've taken this church down because of the advanced improvements and moved it and built a brand new church. So this no longer is there. But Sunnyside Community Church is doing fine. We got to preach there a month ago, and that was pretty exciting. Let's go to the next slide. Still with Village Missions and doing a great job. This was the church we started in. If you look at the old cars, that was back in the day. And the little brown church in the Vale was there. That's pairing with our little son Jason. And that church kind of evolved. And as the strange thing happened, go to the next slide. As we went out into Village Missions, we went first off to Wyoming. You're going to see this church again. Go ahead. We got married there. That's us in 1971. You'll recognize Mary. I don't know who was with her at that day. But some skinny little blackbird guy, and it was really great. June 13th, 1971. So that's been a while, hasn't it? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Just keep going here. This is our first church that Village Missions called us to, Hot Springs, Wyoming. That is not Hot Springs, it's Hot Springs. And it's a tiny little town. It's so small, if you stand in the post office and you turn around too fast, you hit your ears on all four walls. There is nothing there. Go to the next slide. Absolutely nothing there. And God worked, though. And then we went to Pinkstown, South Dakota. And this is on the Fort Randall Dam. In the middle of Missouri, and longest earthfield dam in the world. This was an all-faith chapel. Tom Brokaw went to church here as a kid, but I told the Sunday school teacher, who was one of our deaconesses, that she didn't do a very good job. And so, but anyway, we had a great time there. A bunch of very interesting ministry. There was Indians. There was lots of Swedes in the area. We had a whole Swedish community and a bunch of Bohemians in the community, a large Catholic presence in the community. It was all different. They all worked at the hydroelectric plant. Go to the next slide. Anybody recognize this place? Yes. That's where God called us. Next was the Bangor Community Church. Unfortunately, this is a picture after we were here. There was an outhouse out back, and some of you will remember the outhouse. And in the summertime, because there was no air conditioning, there was knob and tube wiring in there and no water. It's just as it is now.
Yeah.
And by the way, that Handling Rock Foundation has stood there for over 100 years. And there isn't a bit of cement holding it together. There's no mortar. Maybe it's because it gets the shift or whatever, but it was exciting. We had old theater seats in that. Remember that? Remember, we were there the first day. And you guys... And it was a riot. And you could tell if a visitor came, because if they were in the outhouse and all of the windows were open because it was hot, and you heard a blood-curdling scream, you knew that the lizard got somebody. Fantastic. And everybody chuckled, and then they went on with the sermon. Okay, next one here. And, of course, that church, you know, we came, there was just a handful of people. We were excited because God began to touch hearts. Go to the next slide there. And this, which you are now sitting in, was what evolved out of all that, how God worked and blessed. And go to the next slide. You'll get to see, this was our last Sunday here, and the Lord Jesus filled this place. Do you remember that? how exciting that was. And that was to all God be the glory. And the Bannons and us were looking at some of these pictures the other day with C.R. Howard in the middle next to Michael there. And he came to the Lord when he had that amputation in the hospital. And we could go through and tell you how, you know, our first Sunday that was here, Bridget raised her hand and then later went to a Bible study and found the Lord and came. And those home Bible studies, we had to ford the stream to get to their house. That was really amazing. I gotta tell a story on somebody here, and I don't have time to do this, but I'm gonna do it anyway because it's so funny. I've told this story a million times. Do you remember the Bible study we went to, and we went up to the Klimas, and Gary Klima had cut the head off of his turkey, and he had managed to put that knife right down into the palm of his hand. And let me tell you, I came in and there's this towel on there. Remember, I'm the guy that was also in the fire department, so I'm in charge of first aid. Here's this guy, and he's got this dome, and it's all red. And I said, Gary, what did you do? And he told me the story, and he lifted it up, and there's dangling and muscle, and it was bad. I said, Gary, you got stitches in that. Oh, Pastor, you're here to teach a Bible study, and I'm here to listen to the Word of God. And I said, well, only if you do this for me, we go up to the clinic afterwards, we'll call the doctor, make an appointment, and you get that stitched up. Gary says, fine. So he goes to get, you know, after we get through this, part of the Bible study had to do with J. Vernon McGee. And I had the privilege of introducing him at conferences and things when I was a teenager. So one of the funny things he said in one of his programs was that no matter where he went in the world, although he had spoken all over the world, they didn't swear in their deity's name. You would think if they, you know, you were over in the East, somebody would hurt themselves and say, oh, Shinto, or oh, Tao, or oh, Buddha, or something like that. But they don't. They swear in Jesus' name, or, you know, they'll say, God, Buddha, you know. Yeah. They do. It's funny, because ultimately they know. You know what I'm saying? You get down to the secular world, and they know, regardless of where they are in the world, who is the supreme, okay? So, we get up to the clinic, and Gary's hand is opened up. By this time, it is throbbing. It's terrible. And the doctor takes this long needle with Novocaine in it to deaden it so he can stitch it up, and he sticks it in there. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but let me tell you, it's like right in your hand, on fire. And Gary grabs his hand and he goes, oh, boom, 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 boom. And the doctor goes, what? So he had to tell him the story. And ever since then, when my kids have gotten hurt, they're going, oh, boom, 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 boom. Anyway, just got to tell you. But the great stuff happened here. And we tried the moments that Mary and I were able to be here and to see these people. Many of them, if you look at this picture, those of us who've been around for a long time, we can see that many of those people have already gone to be with the Lord. But you know, I look at this picture not as the good luck. One of these days when I go to heaven, there are going to be standing up there. I ought to put it all in the same order so I can remember who the names are. Get up there. Oh, yes, yes. These are the people that they'll go into the end of the sermon here. You'll get it. Next slide. We got to get off of this thing. They got to move us to Bernie, Washington, and we got to finish some of the insides of this church, and on Hood Canal, it's up there, it's up above the rise, it's just a beautiful place. Next one, and then, next slide, we're going to go to Jim. This is one of the programs that we did there, one of the kids' programs. This is down by the Creek Bank. We had a great time with that. Our kids are in that picture, and keep going. That window would look out over Hood Canal. God called us to Colton Community Church. We were there for a short period of time. And I got to put the belfry and the cross on there. Of course, here at Bangor, we got to see this church go up. So we weren't through with church building. Go to the next one. Next slide, Jim. We're good. We went back to Mohawk Community Church because they were voting to close the doors. Can you believe that? This is the place we were married, the place we were ordained, and all of that had happened, and that was the last thing we wanted to happen. So we petitioned the mission to see if they would take us back. take back Mohawk and allow us to come. And so we prayed, and the mission prayed, and they opened the doors back up. And a strange thing happened at Mohawk. Go ahead. God began to work, and people began to come to know Jesus. And it began to grow. And the next thing you know, after many years, we were there for 26 years, we started a new building project because the place was overflowing. To God be the glory. Keep going. And at the end of the day, when we walked in the door, we walked out of the old church, past the Sunday school building, and into this church, debt-free. Debt-free. We walked into the glory of God. We didn't owe a penny on that church. Let me tell you that. And it's beautiful. You know, you can drive up there and let people off. It rains in Oregon. Huh? You don't know what that is, but it's wet soap. It comes out from the sky. So they could drive into there, they're let off, and they go into the nice foyer where the bathrooms are, and then you're in this big open room, and we have a big curtain that goes across it. We can have fellowship behind it and all that stuff and open it up for big things. So to God be the glory, that was risen up, and people came to know the Lord. Keep going. And these are some of the reasons why we use the old church for Vacation Bible School. And fill it up with the neighborhood kids. Keep going. And this is our family. And through it all, it started out way back when Jason was born in Nebraska, and John Lee, or Jenica, was born in South Dakota, and John Lee was born right here in Eagle City. So Jason is the big guy in the middle. When I grow up, I want to be like him. I don't know where you got all that. I checked with the milkman and other things that could be. And then there was, Dr. Jenick, works with the Boise Rescue Mission in the retail store for them and counsels with the drug addicts and the other people. And he's an elder in his church, a village missions church, 10-mile church in Meridian, Idaho. Jenica is an art teacher. She's a professional artist. She used to do day spring cards and things and had her own art gallery at one time, and now she's teaching art in a grade school in Portland at the public school. John Lee is a professional photographer, and her husband has a computer software business that they run out of their home, and she helps him with that as well. You know, the beautiful lady in the red there is my greatest treasure. And she has been through it all with us and endured rattlesnakes and banger and other stories that we have, but we won't go into those either. Let's go to the next slide. We have the privilege now that we're retired of being asked to go up to Alaska. And this is one of our village missionaries here in the right-hand corner, Craig Norway. And Craig worked with the Indian chief and invited us up to speak to the Athabasca Indian Nation in Alaska in Copper Center this past year. And this is one of the meetings as we started out. Keep going. The amazing thing is all these people came from one. The people there, the guy in the red, and the lady in the yellow, and the next lady in the blue, and the next lady in the blue, and the fellow in the back on the right, are brothers and sisters, and they were all led to Christ by their father. And years ago, the lady that's behind the lady in front of the microphone was in our church in Berlin, Washington. God saved her miraculously from a life of alcoholism. And it was because her husband was the first Alaskan state trooper killed in the line of duty. And she had gone off the deep end in depression and stuff. And the Lord brought her back and saved all of her children in Brennan, Washington. And she was one of the reasons, too. She wanted the chief to invite us up. So we came up to there. Go to the next slide. And God began to work in a miraculous way. This is a man coming forward to receive Christ as his Lord and Savior and be delivered from some of the tough things that he was going through. Go to the next slide. And we had a great time up there. But we came over on this boat. It's called the Discovery. We took a little trip on. And God alone knows what we're going to discover in the days ahead in our retirement. But we're sure having a great time. Go ahead to the next slide. I think we're done. And you can turn that on. Great stuff. Everybody got your penny? Have you got your penny? All right. You're going to need that penny. You notice some important things about that penny. We're going to refer to it through the message, and it's going to be fun. That penny is made of very common stuff called copper. And you know we're all made of the same common stuff. God made us all for a reason and for a purpose. You'll notice that the penny is round. The penny is round because that reminds us, or at least it reminds me, that God's eternity is never ending. And that God has an eternal story for all of us, regardless of who we are, just common old folks, that God has something for us, and he wants to tell us some important things, I think, today about all these things. As we look at that little penny, you also remember that there's something in the middle. Who can tell me what's in the middle?
The cross.
Okay. But actually, there isn't anything in the middle of the penny. There used to be solid stuff there, but the penny was changed. And the cross was stamped out of it. And you know what? We sometimes look for what's physical in this life to satisfy us, but it won't. It's what we can't see that satisfies us. Do you know the most important things in this world aren't rocks and trees and cars and houses and all of that stuff? The most important thing is love. The most important thing is our hearts and who we are. Because we're not just made of physical stuff. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes in an unseen way, but a real way. Okay? And notice that the cross is in the center of that penny. Not pushed over to the side. Not something that's glued on to it. And that's where Jesus needs to be, is in the very center of our lives. And that's what we're going to talk about. So if you forget everything else, you can go to sleep now, and you got the sermon. We're all good. You like breakfast? You like breakfast? I love breakfast. We went over to Bannon's. We have been treated. Larry and Linda have treated us like a queen and a king. And they have fed us till, I don't know, our eyes are bursting. And we're going to have to rearrange a few things here. And the amazing thing is they put out the best breakfast. They have two or three different kinds of meat service places. And wheat and sausage and bacon and you name it, the breakfast keeps going. I love breakfast. I can eat breakfast anytime. Three meals a day, I can eat breakfast. I love everything about breakfast. And breakfast is an important meal. And as we look at breakfast, we're going to talk about breakfast at the Full Circle Cafe here. And there was a very special breakfast that happened, probably not the kind you'd eat, but a very special breakfast with some of the special friends. I don't know about you dads and moms, but I used to date my girls and my son. And years ago, we would break into the school and we would take them to lunch one at a time. And they could tell me anything they wanted to tell me at that time. I would talk about, just focus on them. How are you? What's going on? What's hurting you? Who's bothering you? Who's your best friend? You know, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you want to do? We asked them all these crazy things so we could know our children. A lot of times we go through life and we don't know our children. And when they get to be adults, we find out we've raised some strangers. We need to know our kids. So breakfast is important. And this important time, Jesus picks to talk to his disciples about the most important conversation they will ever have in their lives. Okay? Go ahead and just kill that screen. It's fine. Jim, just kill it. Just shut the projector off. Or, yeah. All right. We're going to talk about where these gentlemen went. So, I don't know. I love the resurrection story of Jesus, do you? And Jesus has been to the cross, and he's died for our sins, and they laid him in a tomb, and he's risen from the dead. And how exciting is that when he rises from the dead, and he first appears to Mary, and then he appears to the women, and then he appears to the guys in the road to Emmaus, and he appears to the disciples without Thomas, and then he appears to the disciples with Thomas. And everything begins to come full circle, and it gets exciting, and you have your scripture in front of you there. It says, afterwards Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Now, the Sea of Tiberias is where his ministry really happened in Capernaum. He spent the majority of his time up around this freshwater lake. It's not really a sea. There's no salt in it. And the water comes from Mount Hermon, comes into the Sea of Galilee, which is the lowest freshwater lake. And the lowest saltwater lake is the Dead Sea. The Jordan River flows out of it and down into the Dead Sea. There, I've been on this beautiful stretch of water a couple of times and been out on a boat and seen all of the beauty that's around in Israel, to thanks to be to God. It's a little freshwater lake that's 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. And the angels had told the women to tell them to go back to Galilee. And if you look at this list of people, this is their home. This is where Jesus had called them. This is where they came from. They were familiar with everything. So the place they went was back home. Have you ever gone, tried to go back home? I went to my 20-year class reunion. Maybe it was 30 years. Anyway, have you ever done that? I never saw so many bald heads, hair going out in all the wrong places, missing teeth. I mean, talk about. I couldn't believe it. And that was just the cheerleaders. You should have seen the football players. And the thing that I learned when you try to go back home, you know, I was wondering what I was doing with all these old people, is that you can't go back home. We can come back to Bangor. We have cherished memories of here, but we aren't here anymore. And home is never the same. You ever tried that? It really isn't the same. You've changed, and home's changed. There's been a couple of devastating fires, and people here have lost their homes, and other things have happened long after we've been gone. We're going back, we're looking at all those pictures that are back there on the back, and that was back in the 80s. You know, and so, you know, our children have been raised since then, and we've been in those other churches, and you can't go back home. It's amazing. And things just don't fit. These guys have been with Jesus for 3 years. But since the death and the resurrection of Jesus, they were there a month ago, and everything has changed in 1 month. Everything for the folks in paradise has changed in 1 day. Think about this. Change is difficult. So here they are trying to go back home, and nothing seems to fit. So what did they do? They went fishing. Now, Larry has some important reading material in his bathroom. And one of them is these fish tales, and I read one this morning. I really liked Larry. I was impressed. It said there are only 2 days that you should go fishing, when it's raining and when it's not. So Simon Peter says to them, "I'm going fishing." You know, when the going gets tough, the tough go fishing. And they said to him, "We're going with you also." And they went out immediately. Circle the word immediately, will you? They went out immediately and got into the boat. And that night they caught what? Circle this word. Nothing. Oh, man. It's a good thing fishing isn't about catching fish. Isn't it? Peter's not going to wait around. He's going to go. He's got to do something. I don't know about you girls, but if you just watch your men once in a while, you'll find out that even if you're in a discussion, the guy asks you one question. What do you want me to do? It's all about doing it. We got to do something. We got to fix it. We got to do this. We got to get out of there. We got to do something. So Peter's going to go fishing. So they get into the boat. And they throw out their nets like they've always thrown out their nets. They've spent their life throwing out these nets. And they've spent their life fishing. They worked for their dad in the fishing business. They sold their fish to the priests at the temple. They had a real thriving business. And they went out immediately, and they got into the boat. And immediately they caught nothing. And then they caught nothing. And then they caught nothing all night long. Can you imagine the comments? Boy, Peter, this is a great idea. We're out here in the stinking boat, working our tails off, listening to your lousy jokes. That's not the Bible. And, you know, that was a great idea. You know, they're discouraged. But you know, it brings up within them the fact that they were depressed and they were discouraged and they were despondent because Jesus was gone, and it seemed that the purpose in life was gone, and it seemed like everything got wiped out, and it seemed like there was no future for them because things had changed. And now, even trying to come back home to get some solace wasn't working either. Fishing was what they were good at, but they weren't good at it anymore. It was their profession, but it wasn't satisfying them now. It was what they'd be doing if Jesus had never come along. But Jesus had come along. And you know, they learned an important lesson. You can't drive looking in the rearview mirror. There's no reverse in life. And when God has changed your heart, you can't go back home to the world. Remember, there was a point when Jesus was walking on the water in Matthew 4 in the Sea of Galilee. Strange, same place. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew. Hey, these guys are in the boat today. And they were casting nets into a sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of what? Men." And they immediately, hey, here's that word again. They immediately what? Left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James and son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat from Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them in. And what? Immediately, circle that word. They immediately left their boat and their father, and they followed him. So why in the world would they want to go back and fish for fish when Jesus had told them to go fish for men? Maybe it was because there was some unfinished business that their leader Peter needed to take care of. Maybe there was some in their own lives. And maybe sometimes in our lives there's some unfinished business that we need to take care of. The question is asked. Jesus says to them, John 21:5, "Children, do you have any food?" And they answered him, "No." Now all of the questions, how many of you here are fishing? Good. How many of you like to have somebody come along when you have not been successful and said, "Are you catching me?" That's all you need from a smart aleck on the bank that has no pole in his hand and no fish in his hand to ask you. And they have one word answer for him. You notice, I don't know, ladies, if you understand this, but if you want to know if your man is tipped, you listen to the length of his answer. No. This was not a friendly answer. No. And he uses the term children, padia. Hey, my little children. These are grown men. These are the sons of thunder. These are the guys that were going to shake up the world. And he calls them little children. You like being called children, guys? Something of a pride thing here, you know? No fish, and he's calling us kids. Uh-huh. But you know, that's the outcome of our petty resources and feelings, that we can control everything. How puny we are in the scheme of things. How minute is our power in the midst of God's vast universe. We can't even stop a fire. Do I have great results for my effort? Somebody said life's like a rocking chair sometimes. Lots of expended energy. And in the end, it didn't take you anywhere. I think that the disciples needed to come to the end of themselves before they could have a new beginning. Before they could turn the world upside down and preach the gospel to every creature and write the Bible that you hold in your hand this morning, they had to come to the end of themselves and be bankrupt. You still got your penny? If you hold on to that, you'll never be penniless. Let me tell you something. To some people would look at that, you take that to the bank, and they will tell you one thing about that penny. It's worthless. You know what? If you look at that penny, if you look at that cross, and the eternal life that God has given you, it's priceless. It's worth everything. The world will tell you that your faith is worth nothing. But Jesus tells you that you are worth everything and he died for you. Don't ever forget that. So if you ever feel like you're not saved, you just rub that penny and remember, no, I gave my heart to Jesus. That cross is real. And he's in my heart. Now the world might call me worthless, but Jesus says better than me. I'm worth everything. You know, he said this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do what? Nothing. You can't even catch fish. They would learn in a moment what Peter would find, or Paul would find out later. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the directions that Jesus gives them from the shore is cast your net on the right side. Cast your net on the right side. That's not the Republican side, it's the correct side of the boat. All you need is a little more advice from Jesus, right? And the world doesn't want any advice from Jesus, but let me tell you something. If you're on the sea of uncertainty and failure, a little help from somebody else that knows a little more than you do could be helpful. Put it on the right side. Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find. So they cast, and now they're not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. That wasn't the first time this miracle happened. You can read it for yourself when you have time in Luke chapter 5. And that's what caused them to forsake all they had and follow him, was because it filled up the nets. Now, something began to dawn on them. We've been in this boat before. We've been in this mess before. And somebody came and filled our nets once before, and now somebody else on the shore just filled our nets again. What did they figure out? It's Jesus. They had come full circle, and the disciples knew it. And once before this had happened, Jesus was calling them back to their original commitment. They remembered that commitment. You need to be fishers of men. Now, unspoken here is the question, what are you doing here? May I ask you that question? What are you doing here? Now that you're a Christian and you're in anger, why has God placed you here? What are you doing here? Are you fishing for your own fish? Are you fishing for men? The response of the fishermen, simply, not quite as short, it is the Lord. You know, who you respond to makes all the difference in the world. It is the Lord that we respond to. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And now Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. You know why he removed his outer garment? Because he is totally frustrated, he is totally hot, he is totally tired, and he'd given up. But they all got it, all of them but Peter. And Peter jumps into the water. I love Peter, you know. He has all kinds of zeal, but not a lick of sense. He jumps in the water, and he goes flying up there. And this is important for us to see this little scene here. Look at it in John 21. But the other disciples came into the little boat, for they were not far from the land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And then as soon as they had all come to land, they saw a fire of coals here, and the fish laid on it and the bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Peter swims 100 yards to shore. But we have no record that he ever says anything to Jesus. He'd seen him before when he'd appeared in the upper room. Excuse me, but we have no record that he said anything during those times either. Don't you think that's pretty strange for a man that can't keep his mouth shut? Jesus already has breakfast on the grill. He's already caught the fish. He's already made the loaves. He doesn't need their fish. Can I know you're a wonderful Christian if you're sitting here. Can I tell you the facts on that? Jesus doesn't need you. He doesn't need anything you have. He doesn't need your money. He's the creator of the universe, for crying out loud. There's nothing I have that isn't built around me. All my righteousness is yours. And he didn't need anything from the disciples either. That's the facts of it. But he invited them to come, and then he says something very interesting here. Verse 10, bring some of the fish which you have caught. He invites us to be included and add to the great breakfast. And that's what he wants. He wants you to be blessed. He has sufficiency, but he has sufficiency for you. And he invites us in. And the greatest joy of all the world is to be invited in and to put in and to help with. To be a part of the breakfast and to join in. Come, bring some of the fish which you have caught. Jesus accepts all of those things for your benefit, not for his. So the money that you give and the life that you, the time that you sacrifice and the kids that you reach for the Lord and all the things you do are an invitation of the Lord so that you will be blessed. And Simon Peter went up, dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. Can you imagine Sports Illustrated in Jerusalem the next morning? Hey, 153 fish, we counted every one of them. Yeah, that's a fisherman. This is probably one of the only true fish stories in all the world. They counted them. 153 of them. And you know, Jesus still looks at Peter, and Peter still hasn't said a word because there's something going on. And I know some of you have never messed up, but the rest of us have. And the last thing we want to do is walk up to whoever we wronged and take responsibility for it. And so we're strangely quiet, aren't we? Or we avoid those people. And we don't want to get around it. But now, Peter is faced with Jesus. The Lord said to Simon, indeed, Satan has asked you that he may sift you as wheat. This is back in the garden. This is before the trial. But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and that when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Did Jesus know that Peter would fail? Absolutely. Does he know that you and I will fail him? Absolutely. Does he still want us at breakfast? You bet. It's part of Peter's growth. Part of what was rough in keeping him from a total commitment to the Lord that showed up in this circumstance when he had denied him three times. When he said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus warned him, you're going to deny me three times. So Peter follows the guards at that time into Caiaphas' house. They stood at the courtyard just, and he was standing around the fire. You remember this story? He's standing around the fire, and all of a sudden, a little girl looks over and says, I know you. You know Jesus. No, no, no. Do you remember the denial story? And he denies him three times. The cock crows, and he goes out sorrowful. Well, now this morning, come back around to the Full Circle Cafe. Peter's sitting in a fire, just like a fire in the courtyard. And the fire in the court or at the seashore was meant to warm Peter, but I think his blood was running ice cold. He was having to face the Lord with what he had done, and there was no walking away. There was no going fishing and getting rid of the feelings. He's facing the Lord. This is the Full Circle Cafe, remember? And Jesus brings all the disciples, and especially Peter, into this place to bring their lives full circle. And for the first time in his life, Peter is afraid. He's afraid to face up to his failure. He's afraid he won't be accepted. He's afraid that he will be judged. He's afraid he's been disqualified and he's not worthy to ever be used again. And Peter wanted to be the first in the kingdom. And Peter didn't feel like he even deserved to be in the kingdom. Can I tell you, you sit in a community full of people that feel the same way? Some of them are afraid to come to these doors. Some of them are afraid to come to Christ. They're even afraid of Christians. They're afraid to face Jesus with a sin in their lives. They're afraid to face other people. And they're afraid. Do you understand? The enemy doesn't live outside this church. The wounded do. The broken do. The lonely do. The empty do. The people that live in sin that have no idea of how to come back and find cleansing and healing and forgiveness. That's what you're doing here. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah." Isn't it interesting? He didn't go up to, "Hey, Peter, remember I called you Peter the Rock?" Peter was not a rock. He was jello. He was back to being a little boy. He was the little child. He was asking, "Children, do you have any fish?" "Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Ooh, Jesus remembered the conversation. "These what? These fishermen? These boats?" No, he said, his love would never fail, but his love did fail. And he didn't love him more than the other disciples. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Now, I know a little Greek. He ran a deli by the university and sold people sandwiches. But these Greek words are important, so listen to them here. The first love, they're translated L-O-V-E. There's four different kinds of love, but we're going to deal with. There are two in this passage. One is agape love, which is God's unconditional love. Absolute love, pure love. And this is what Jesus promised, or Peter promised to Jesus. Absolute love, absolute fidelity, absolute following. And so Jesus asked him that question. Do you love me? Do you agape me more than all of these? And when Peter answers back, he does not use agape. He doesn't say, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," like that, because he's been a failure. So he uses another word that's also translated love. It's the word phileo, which we get our word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's the lowest form of friendship that we can bring. I have this filial relationship. "Lord, you know I love you." And surprisingly, Jesus doesn't come and say, it's what Jesus doesn't say here that's interesting. You know, it's interesting what Peter doesn't say. It's also interesting what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Well, you rotten guy, I told you you were going to fail and you didn't turn around." No, he didn't say that. If he was just human, he might have. Some of you might have said things like that to your kids. Jesus turns around and not only gives him hope, he gives him a new commission. "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you agape me?" And he says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" But this time, instead of using agape, Jesus condescends to phileo. "Okay, Peter, if this is all you got for me, and this is all you can muster, we'll start there." Can I tell you, you don't have to get up to God's standard. God came to you on the cross. And God comes to you with whatever you will give him and starts there. And says, "Yes, if brotherly love is all you got, we'll start at brotherly love. We'll work our way up." You're going to agape me later. And you know what? Peter agape him all the way to being crucified himself. But it had to grow. But he'll take whatever little spark to build the fire. There's three questions and three denials. Did Peter love Jesus more than these? Do you remember the song we sang? Peter needed to hear that song. He forgives, he removes, he covers. all the guilt, all the past, all the shame. He will cleanse, he will mend, and he'll do it again. And you ask me why I praise his name? In my heart, he sees nothing to blame. That's what Jesus offers you and what he offered me. When Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished," he didn't mean that he was finished. He meant that he had completely sacrificed everything so that we could be clean and we could be free. And what he tells us to do is not just to enjoy it. He tells us, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." We are saved, we are forgiven for a purpose. You know, the price has been paid, and Peter was still trying to pay for the guilt and the shame, and it's too much for us to pay. God doesn't want wasted, remorseful lives. He wants lives full of abundant grace and joy in the Spirit. And he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus tells him to feed sheep, care for lambs. And we are forgiven for a purpose. You still got your penny? Don't lose your penny. One of the things that's on that penny are the words, "In God we trust." And many people live defeated lives and never do anything for the Lord because they don't come to the Full Circle Cafe and take responsibility for what they've done and then receive and complete the forgiveness. It says on that what? "In God we trust." Do you trust God to forgive you? Do you trust that God's forgiveness, Jesus' blood, cleanses from all unrighteousness, that the sin you've done in your head, in your heart, in your mind, in your anger, in your bitterness, in your jealousy, has been forgiven and paid for and you can be clean? Do you believe that? I know a lot of Christians that don't, and they live defeated, unproductive lives for Jesus. Why? Because they're in their own boat still fishing for themselves. Jesus tells them to shepherd and to feed. You know, the other thing on your little penny there is e pluribus unum, out of the many, one. Out of the many people in all the world, God chose you. That's important. But what it really means is that out of the many, God has chosen to build his church. Out of the many people in Bangor, California, you are the church. And God has brought you here for a purpose. And out of the many, he has chosen to build one body. You can read it in 1 Corinthians 12 when you have time about all the different parts of the body and how he's joined us together. But the price has been paid. And the question is, do I really love him? Because love moves me. Galatians says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all the world was crucified to me and to the world, I to the world." And Jesus asked me that question, "Do you love me?" Do things need to come full circle in my life? Have I backed off on my commitments to Jesus? Am I back fishing in my own boat, doing things my own way, and I really don't have anything to show for it? Did the Lord call me to fish for men, and I'm spending all my time and my money on myself? One last story from Brennan, Washington, and our little deer up there. Some of you have sung that song, "As a Deer Pants for the Water, So My Soul Longs." Written by Martin Nystrom. Martin Nystrom sang that in my church before he ever copyrighted it. And his dad, Don Nystrom, was one of my elders. And Don was the cutest little guy, you know. He was Scandahoovian and about this tall. And he came up kind of agitated one day, and I said, "Don, are you all right?" He says, "Not really." He says, "I don't know if I had a vision or a dream or what." And he wasn't prone to that. He just says, "I'm all shook up." And I said, "Don, what's the matter?" He said, "Well, I had this, I guess it was a dream." And he said, "I died and I went to heaven. And," he said, "I'm standing there with my suitcase. I don't know what was in the suitcase, and my hat on." He was a little bald guy. So I knew why he had the hat. But you don't want to go into heaven with shame. But anyway, he was there. You know, I don't mind it turning gray, but I wouldn't mind it turning loose. So Anyway, I understand. Dan had forgotten wearing his hat, and he was there with his suitcase, and St. Peter said, "Yes, your name's in the Lamb Book of Life. Come on in, Don." And he got inside, and he says, I looked back at Peter. He says, "Well, where do I go now?" And Don said, "Well, Peter said, you go to be with your group." And he said, "What group?" He said, "Well, you go to be with the group that you led with the Lord." And Don said, "Pastor, I don't have a group." And he was shaken. Don spent the next several years of his life getting a group. He did. It was a life changer. And so Don went out, and every chance he got, he began to tell people about Jesus and realized that God had a purpose for him there, to encourage and to help and to lead people to the Lord. He didn't just pray for Clerical George or Pastor Casey to go out and save anger. He went out himself and realized that we were called to be disciples. And that's what we were supposed to do. Go into all the world and make what? Disciples. He didn't say go out in the world and make converts. We thought we make converts, everybody get saved and they'd all go to heaven. He didn't tell us to go out and make converts anywhere. He told us that men would be converted, but we needed to make disciples. They needed to look like Jesus, and act like Jesus, and love like Jesus, and forgive like Jesus, and give like Jesus, and they needed to follow us because we needed to be doing those things. And if we were doing those things, we would attract other people and teach them to do other things. And that's how the church would grow. That's why the church hasn't grown. It's because we haven't discipled people. We haven't reached out. You know, we get fearful when things get small. And we have to be careful that Satan doesn't cow us into fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you can go out into this community with the power of God. And you can go out in the community with the love of God. And you can bring them the truth of the Word of God with a sound mind, and you will reach this community for Christ. But it's given to each of us to do it, to feed the sheep. It's not just the pastor's job. Thank God that they're here. These are lovely people. I hope you know that. They pastored the church up where Marion's brother was in Mossy Rock. Nice place to be from. And but it's in the middle of nowhere. But, you know. Anyway, do you have a group? You've been set free. Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven, and you got to tell somebody about that. You still got your penny? Do you realize when you look at that penny, what that is? If you forget your purpose in life, you grab a hold of that penny, and just remember, it's 1 cent. And that's your job. Your 1 cent. Right here. Don't forget your penny. It'll remind you that you're forgiven. It'll remind you that you have a purpose. It'll remind you that of all the people, God chose you to be one with Him. How important is that? Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you help us to hang on to these things. If somebody here hasn't received you as their Lord and Savior, that they would do that today, understanding that you have forgiven every sin and all sin and anything that they've done to sin, and that it is totally paid for in Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Calvary that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts and lives this day to remember those things, that Christ would always be in the center of our hearts and our homes and our conversations. The Lord, we would season with salt all the comments that we had and the people that we meet, and that we would go out and make disciples of all the world. Lord, starting with the people that are in our own homes, and then outside in our community and our friends at work and everywhere, we're here for a purpose, to feed lambs and to tend sheep and to help them to grow and disciple them so that they will be soul winners and go out and fish for men. So, Lord, these men needed to be discipled just like we do, and needed to follow Jesus and understand what he said and that he had the power to cleanse them. Thank you for the Full Circle Cafe. Maybe some of us who've been sitting on the back burner needed to come to the fire today. and understand that we need to be warmed again by your Spirit. We need to change those around us. We need to be committed to you with all of our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for this time, for these people. Bless this church. Bless this pastor and his wife and their little family. Thank you for ordaining them to come here. And we pray that this little church would go out and shine in this community, and that people would be one to you, and that it would never be the same again. Lord, thank you for doing this. Thank you for working through the faithful ones that are here. Bless them in their hearts, we ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened thus far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.